evening. It's always a joy when you see people that decide to spend their Saturday night looking at God's Word. I realize that there's lots of other options for you tonight, but I trust that as we would look at the subject of the New Age, that each of our hearts might be stirred to see that indeed we're living in the last days. And I really believe that as we begin to look at some of the indicators of that, among those indicators that are the clearest has to do with the fact that as the Bible mentions the last religious system, that you and I are seeing the very things that the Bible speaks of come true. So in our first session, we looked at the reliability of God's Word. How do you know that the Bible is true? I think that's a reasonable question to ask, don't you? The reason we should ask that question is because, you see, otherwise, if we don't know that the Bible is true, why would we try to base things on chapter and verse in the Bible? But what we found is that the Bible bears scrutiny. The more you examine the evidence of the Bible, the more you're convinced that the Bible is true. The Bible is true because God has written down a word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, for we have a more sure word of prophecy. And that sure word, it indicates that as we watch life's events unfold day by day, what we find is that it's more convincing than ever that what we find written in the Bible is exactly true. The Bible says that holy men of God wrote or spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the instruments, the men instruments that he used to write the Bible, they did not possess special knowledge beyond what you and I can enjoy. But God, through them, wrote these words. And some of the words that we've been studying are 2,600 years old. And the Bible would say in the last days, in the day of the Lord, in the latter days. And these are indicators that the prophecies that these men wrote were not for their time, but they're for our time. And then we begin to look at signs. And among the most powerful signs in all of the Word of God are the predictions that we can go back and see the fulfillment of them historically. The Bible mentions kings by name, gives the battle, and tells exactly what will be done 175 years before the king is born. Not bad, would you say? The Bible describes Alexander the Great in his battles, his conquering of the world, 100 years before Alexander the Great was ever conceived. And it will give his nation. It will list every battle he will fight right in a row. And then it will tell why Israel will be spared exactly as it occurred. Gene Dixon can't do that. We can't even predict the winner of a Super Bowl game, can we? You see, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And the Bible deals with the future. It's called prophecy. It is God's ability to write down history before it happens. Now, how can he do it? Well, here's how he can do it. Because God is in control. And tonight, as we look at the subject of the New Age, it's important for us to realize that even though it appears at this time that the subtleties of Satan are sweeping in into every area of life, I want to remind you that God is in control. Sometimes it does us well to look at the last book and the last chapter and to read that and to find out that God wins. You see, I see a lot of Christians and they're concerned. They look around, they're worried. But I want you to know, God wins. That on the cross, when Jesus died for sin, he defeated the devil. He defeated Satan. He defeated hell and sin. Because of that, there's a great victory tonight at the foot of the cross. But I believe as you look around, you begin to say, listen, I wonder, does it pay to be a Christian? I mean, it appears that the Christians are in the minority. It appears that the doctrines of the Bible are being trodden down, churches wholesale are forsaking the inspiration of Scripture, maybe we discover new truth. I just want you to know that there's never been a book that compared to the Bible. When all the new theories have been tested and failed, the Bible will still be there. Isn't that wonderful to know? I don't know about you, but I've decided that I'm going to anchor my faith in the written Word of God. It stood the test of time. It's a book that at the time of its writing, roughly a third of that book, you could say, would be prophetic in its writing. Something equivalent to 26 books in terms of volume you could attribute to prophecy and their major portion. That's an incredible amount of the Bible. It has to do with the future. And the Bible says that every promise of God is yes, and in Him it's guaranteed. I like that kind of a statement. And then we begin to look at the signs of the time. And we saw that in the Bible it has many signs. Some of those point to the millennial kingdom of God, when God will rule on the earth. It's a time when justice will be wrought on the earth. But the Bible is clear that before that time begins, there will be a time of trouble called tribulation. And in this time frame, described in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, the Bible says that it will be the most devastating time ever known to man. It will make the wars up to this point look like Sunday school picnics. I believe that it describes nuclear holocausts. I believe it describes the AIDS plague, from which there is no cure. I believe it describes a time of famine and of death, of earthquakes and hailstones, of wars and fires like mankind has never seen. And yet I believe that before all of that will take place, I believe the Bible is very clear that Christ will come for those that have received Him as Savior. And yet I think that the grandest hour for religion is just ahead. But religion is the enemy of Christianity. And so tonight we're going to be looking at a false religion. It's called the New Age movement. And it is a religion. Now in the United States, it's against the law, and most of our schools back home, to sing a Christmas carol, such as Joy to the World, Silent Night, Away in a Manger. Maybe you still have that freedom here. We don't back home. We're a Christian country. You believe that, I have some swampland in Florida that you'll be interested in. And yet, at the same time, the subtle lies of the New Age are being propagated through our schools. And what we are finding is that the New Age, Satan's subtle attack, is making its way into every area of life. It's involved in politics, it's involved in advertising, it's in religion, it's in business, it's in education, it's in the self-esteem doctrine. It's in entertainment, it's in health, it's in birth, it's in sports. It really has made an impact in every area of life. Yet, if I'm honest with you, I really believe that it's the last religious system. So tonight, we want to look at the subtlety, Satan's subtle eye, the New Age movement. And I want us to begin by looking at a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Tonight we want to look at some of the basic beliefs of the New Age. We want to look just quickly at the political forum. We'll be spending more time on the political forum tomorrow at the 11 o'clock session. The 9:30 session tomorrow, we want to look at the subject of Hussein, Nebuchadnezzar, and the Persian Gulf. There is so much taking place right now in the Persian Gulf that I really believe the Bible mentions, that I think it will be important for us to spend some time looking at that particular subject tomorrow morning. But tonight, we'll be looking at the doctrines and the effect of the New Age movement, Satan's subtle lie. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I think it would be fair to say that this is an end time prediction, don't you? You see, the Bible is very clear about this. Sometimes people say, seems like you have to read between the lines. Well, that's not really true. Remember this morning as we were looking at some of the signs in the Old Testament concerning Israel, every time we really took the passage literally, didn't we? Matter of fact, someone accused me of that this morning. Said, how can you interpret the Bible literally? I said, well, how can you not interpret the Bible literally? I mean, I don't know what kind of a story you're going to make up when the Bible says, listen, Israel returned to the land. Someone said, well, isn't Israel the church? No, to be honest, I don't think all the church is going to move to Israel. Next, it says that the deserts will bloom. You know, what in the world would that mean if you're going to spiritualize that? Oh, I don't know, but it doesn't make any sense, does it? It says that the cities that were destroyed will be rebuilt. It says that Israel will become a great military power. It says that Israel will become a nation. And they will no longer be two nations, but they will be united as one. It says that the enemy of Israel will be Russia. It describes the capitals. It even tells the countries, the nations, that will side with Russia and come against Israel. And every nation tonight is aligned exactly as the Bible said. Matter of fact, frankly, I really think that in addition to the war in Iraq, I think we ought to be concerned about the war that will take place on the border of Israel and Syria. It's coming. You don't move 5,000 Soviet tanks into Syria. You don't spend $5 billion on a military buildup in Syria when a country is broke like Russia and then not expect a battle. So there's going to be wars. Matter of fact, if you like war, stick around for the tribulation. That will be the way of living in the tribulation, battle after battle. And so this says, this know that in the last days perilous times will come. I think we live in perilous times. Have you noticed that? And here are the signs. For men shall be lovers of their own self. Now the basic doctrine of the New Age movement is this, that we're gods. In some of their literature, they actually refer to the God of heaven as little G-O-D. And when they talk about the fact that every one of us are really gods, they talk about us as capital G-O-D. They begin to say that really our children, one of the things that you got to do is you got to develop the God that's in them. Now don't you dare go home and tell your kids they're gods. I promise you, that's not the problem. Okay? Oh, they'd like to hear that, wouldn't they? You see, when you're a god, you can excuse anything you do. But the Bible has quite another statement. The Bible says that all men are sinners. Now, I recognize that if I'm to speak to an audience, and if I begin to tell them, listen, you're a god, you know what I find? Even though I say, you know, I don't think that's true. But on the other hand, you know, just last week I was thinking, you sure got some good characteristics that no one seems to know about. You know what I mean? Talk to a group of teenagers and say, you know what? Really, you guys are gods. And it won't take them more than 2 or 3 minutes to begin to say, we kind of discovered that ourselves. We could just convince our parents. Now, it's real difficult, though, for me to believe that these kids are gods when they come home with their report cards. It just doesn't seem like God ought to fail history. Get a D in algebra. Can't spell with a root. I don't picture God that way, do you? But if you begin to tell people, listen, the Bible says that all have sinned. The Bible says that unless a person makes an about face, a change, and comes to Christ and accepts the death of Christ as payment for their salvation, they're on their way to hell. You know what I find? I find people get offended. But I tell you what, it's the truth, isn't it? And so Satan's subtle lie is he'd like to convince people, you know what, you're a god. And what you got to do is you got to discover this God. And the real truth is we got to be lovers of ourselves. And this is exactly the lie of the New Age, and it takes an unusual form, whether it's in business or in advertisement or even in churches. You know where I'm finding the New Age making its biggest foothold right now? It's in churches. I don't mind telling you, and I'll probably make some of you mad. But you see, I'm not trying to win an Oscar. But I'd really like to warn you, because I think Satan's having a heyday in the churches, folks. And so it says, in the last day they'll be lovers of their self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and then when you get to verse 3, then it's unnatural affection, the homosexual. But the first sign of the last days has to do with loving ourselves. It's the premise of the new age. You see, it's subtle. And most of the time, when I begin to speak about the new age, people, they act like, they say, the new what? Oh, the new age. No, I don't think it's around here. You know, it's probably in California. New York. No, that's New York. No, that's a new age, New York. Now, I agree it's in California. It's in New York. But I got news for you. This summer, when I was in Canada, I heard more stories about the new age here than just as many as I do in America. But I'll tell you what, it's subtle. You see, the worst enemy of the Christian is ignorance. Listen to this. I think this is true. Those who stand for nothing will fall for anything. Those who stand for nothing will fall for anything. And one of the reasons why our churches are so easy to pick on today is because doctrinally we don't know what we believe. We like messages that entertain. We like messages that send us home smiling. We like to spend most of the time laughing or singing songs. And there are times I go somewhere to preach, and I mean to tell you that the religious calisthenics we do are ridiculous. I know you're worried. I'm not going to get invited back. The Lord's going to come before I have a chance to come back, so I'm not worried. Look, but really, I have been at places where for the first 50 minutes we sing, we announce everyone's age and birthday and favorite color, and we sing, and then you get around and you've got 10 minutes. I can't even change my mind in 10 minutes. I get real suspicious when I see half the people walk in, no Bible. I don't even think they're expecting a message. They're expecting some entertainment. You see, those who stand for nothing will fall for anything. And I'll tell you what, we're falling for the new age. You want to know why? Because we have not instructed people to understand what the subtle plan of Satan is. Look, if you will, at another portion, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Why is it so important to know? The sign of the last days is that men will be lovers of their own self. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 6. And now you know what restrains, that he might be revealed in his time. He's talking of the Antichrist. There is a time in which God will reveal the Antichrist. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hinders will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. But there's something that restrains the Antichrist. I personally believe that the Antichrist is alive today. The Bible says that he will not be known until after the coming of Christ for the church. He is restrained. He is pushed back. But when the church is raptured and those that are believers are removed, then the work of the Antichrist will be made known publicly. Look at verse 8. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now this is the idea. Here's the time frame. And then shall that wicked one be revealed. The word revealed means to pull away the cover. He's been there all along. Daniel says that he's a little toe. He's an unimportant person at this time. But once Christ has taken away the believers, once the Spirit of God has brought believers home, then the work of the Antichrist begins in a public way. And here's what it says, verse 9, that the Lord will destroy him with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. When the Antichrist comes, he will be so magnificent, he will be such a great speaker, he will be such a powerful performer, he will do so many signs, that there will be no such thing as an agnostic or an atheist. The most hardened heart, the most bitter person against the Bible will suddenly become religious. And people will pack into churches because they've never heard a man perform like this man. And unfortunately, in many of our churches, it will be church as usual. Because I personally believe that many of our churches are playing games with God. Then it says this, verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They had the chance. They sat in a meeting, they heard that Christ died for their sins, they knew that they were sinners, and they never responded. And because of that, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, God will allow him to blind their minds and their eyes. So it would be quite a day. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. You see, it says in John 14 that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if he's the truth, that means there's only one truth, right? Christianity says that they are a unique path to God. Other religions say, well, okay, we can coexist, but not Christianity. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If I say, listen, that is the door, it means that there's no other door, right? So I can't say that's the door, that's a door, isn't it? Because there's others. But when I say that's the door, that means that's the only door. So when he says he is the truth, he's saying there's no other way to heaven. And so when he speaks of being the truth, and then it says that they will believe the lie, what he's talking about is the fact that when the Antichrist comes, he will be so powerful that people will believe the lie. They'll actually think that the Antichrist is the Christ. Now, I'll show you statements today, right now, made by the New Age movement concerning the Antichrist. You'll be amazed at what they're saying. I mean, you may be timid about being a Christian, but they're not timid about their stand. That they all might be judged to believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They had the chance to change, and they didn't do it. I believe that there are people that will be saved in the tribulation. But I think those are people that have never heard the gospel. You see, the Bible doesn't say that all the people will hear the gospel before the coming of Christ. Matthew 24, verse 14. It says in the tribulation, through the two witnesses, through the 144,000 evangelists, all the world will hear the gospel again. But it doesn't say that before Christ comes, everyone will hear the gospel. I think they've had a chance to. But through the murdering of missionaries, through the stopping of the Word of God as it's been propagated, there are people today that really are not clear on the gospel. Those will be the people that will have a chance to accept Christ. They will be part of the multitude saved, according to Revelation 7. But for those who have sat in a church and heard the gospel and decide to put it off, the Bible says that they will take the mark of the Antichrist, that they will be deceived. I think the Bible speaks a powerful message, don't you? Now, where are we then at this particular time? Well, again, turn to Matthew chapter 24, and we want to hit just three or four scriptures, and then we want to take some time to look at the situation around us, the world around us. Matthew 24, begin in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Notice the word deceive is there twice. The warning in the tribulation is this, that during this time there will be great deception. Let no man deceive you. They will say, I'm Christ, and they will deceive many. Look at chapter 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Look at verse 24. And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, thank God it's not, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Well, that's quite a statement, isn't it? I believe it says that those who know the truth, if they were to see the convincing signs and the miracles of the Antichrist, they would say, this has got to be the Christ. I rode on a plane with a 27-year-old president of a computer company. As I was reading my Bible, I noticed him looking at it, and so I said, could I read to you John 3? He said, don't bother. He said, I'm a new ager. I mean, he's just real open and bold about it. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm just an old age Christian, but I said, I'd be happy to read John 3. He says, don't bother. He said, you see, I'm just coming back from Arizona. He said, I just met with the Messiah. He said, when you see the miracles that my Messiah does, you'll forget about your Jesus of 2,000 years ago. And this man was serious. And he began to cite some of the miracles that this man did. And he began talking about how that this man can change life from one body to another. How this man can stand there and he can bend metal as he looks at it and as he meditates. He began to talk about how that he called up dead friends and he visited with those friends. He had found him investors through channeling. He said, can your Jesus do that? I said, you know, that's pretty impressive, I've got to admit. But you know, there's one thing that your new age Jesus can't do. He can't forgive sin. You see, that's the big difference, isn't it? My dear friend, I don't care how much magic, I don't care how powerful they may talk about. Here's one thing they can't do. They can't forgive sin. And I have yet to meet a single person, I don't care how brazen they are. I've taught at universities with egomaniacs. I've taught with people that say, I don't even care about the Bible. But sooner or later, as I talk to those people, I find out that every single human being is concerned with sin. And the more brash a person is, I say, I don't care. I can look them in the eye and I can say this, I know this, that you're a sinner and you'll have no peace within until you have the sin question settled. And I can watch young people and they begin to say, no, this doesn't bother me. I say, all that says to me is that you're afraid to talk about it. You're a sinner and you're afraid to talk about it. No, I don't need a crutch. I say, you can cover it all you want to. But you see, if you've got a disease and you put on a change of clothes, it doesn't matter. You still got a sin problem. A young person, when you lay your head on a pillow at night, and there's no peace. When you tried every thrill there is, and there's no peace, when there's no answers, my dear friend, that says it's a sin problem. And too much we beat around the bush. We try to dress them up. We try to give them a shower. We try to shave them. Listen, what they need is to get right with God. It's a sin question. So Thessalonians says they're going to be deceived. Matthew said they're going to be deceived. Now, look what the message is as you go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Now, it's important to realize that as they begin to discuss the conversation that took place between God and man, they will do three things. To one statement, they will add a phrase. To another statement, they will leave out a word. And to another one, they will just change it around slightly. And it ends up with three lies. Pretty subtle. Because here's what the serpent says, verse 4. Look, if you eat it, you shall not surely die. What did the Lord say? You shall surely die. Is there any difference? No, it's just one word. You know, if you say, she's a very good cook, that's very different than saying, she's not a very good cook. I mean, I can see the difference, but sometimes it's a mystery to people. Now, verse 5. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. In other words, the subtle lie that is coming today that we're gods is exactly the subtle lie that Satan used all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Satan has an original idea in 6,000 years. It's the same old lie. Now, it's called the New Age. It's the same old lie. But I think Eve was a thinking, modern woman. She was as up-to-date as any woman of her day. She was the only one. She was the best-looking woman around. And so Satan appeals to her, and he says, listen, if you'll eat this, you won't die, but you will be God. And I'll tell you what, it appeals to Eve. And that same lie. I mean, you'd think we'd recognize it. The same lie is exactly the lie of the New Age movement today. Now, let's just look at one other thing that we've got to do in terms of the Scripture, and then we want to look at a collection of articles. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And we will only hint at this today. We'll try to spend more time with this tomorrow. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels who had seven bowls and talked with me, saying to me, come here, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great harlot, or the great prostitute that sits on many waters. Now this is quite a scene. Can you imagine that the Bible gives feature time to a harlot, to a prostitute? And the thing that is interesting, you see, everything that Christ has, Satan wants. Christ had worship. That's why Satan wanted Christ to worship him. Christ has a bride, those that believe in him. So Satan also wants a bride. But the Bible says that Christ wanted a chaste virgin bride, a church, a people, believers that would keep themselves pure and holy. But Satan wants a prostitute, one that would sell herself for gain. And so the Bible says that just as Christ has a bride that he will take to heaven in the rapture, that Satan and the Antichrist, they will have a bride and she'll be a harlot. And it describes her as sitting on many waters. Now what does that mean? Well, I had one person tell me, I think that they will set their religious headquarters up on a ship. Really, I mean, well, I'm going to be so brave as to suggest to you, read verse 15 and it will give you the answer. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Pretty clear, isn't it? In other words, he says, listen, I want you to know that when the false religious system comes, it will be worldwide. Next, it describes in verse 3 that, and verse 2, that she will commit fornication, adultery with the kings of the earth. There will be a union between politics and religion. When you begin to see religious organizations becoming more political and political organizations becoming religious, we're in the last days, folks. It says in verse 3, he says, you will know her because I saw the woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. In other words, she'll sit on a beast. She'll ride that beast. Her name will be this, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Every false religion will stem out of the same mother. And we can go back to Genesis 10, and we will tomorrow, and we'll trace it. Verse 6, she'll be responsible for the death of two Christians. You know, the enemy of Christianity is religion. Who crucified Christ? You know what you'll find in the Bible? The chief priests and scribes crucified Christ. It was religion. Very seldom do I get in trouble with an atheist. But I'll tell you what, I sure have a way of stirring up religious people. Because you see, I think hell is full of religious people. I really do. I think there's more religious people in hell than there are in heaven. Because religion will send you to hell. But Christ will save you and take you to heaven. There's a big difference, isn't there? I'm against religion. Do you know that? People say, you know, what if the government begins to tax churches? I say, man, I think that's great. I really do. I hope it puts, about 3,000 or 4,000 of them out of business. Some of them have assets bigger than some of the largest companies in America. I hope they do begin to tax them. It won't hurt Christianity, but it'll sure do in religion. You see, religion is the enemy of Christianity. And she will be religious, and she will specialize in the martyr of those that are real believers. Next, there will be a political form. And it talks in chapter 17, verses 10 through 13, how that it will be a united and a reformed Roman Empire. We'll look at more of this tomorrow in our 11 o'clock session. But now, I want, with this background, that in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. Matthew 24, that in the last days, people will be deceived by the lie of Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians, that the work of Satan is restrained. It will only be known in part. It has its beginning, but it will not be known fully until the church is gone. Genesis 3, that if you do this, you'll be gods. These are the scriptures concerning what we're looking at today. Now, what about the basic beliefs? Well, I think maybe the best way to look at some of the basic beliefs is simply to look at what is going on. This, for example, is an article out of the public newspaper, and it says this: politics and spirituality need to be reunited. Now listen to this. Politics is properly spiritual, and religion is properly political. Can you believe it? I mean, this guy says, hey, how can you really make a difference unless churches become more political? I'll tell you what. One of the reasons why the church is not as effective is because I think we spend too much time on political issues. We need to get down to the basics, folks, and that's salvation. That's the way to make a change in our country. It's through the preaching of the gospel. Yeah, I have an opinion on a lot of issues. I'm politically active in my own community. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't waste my time on those things when there's a soul to point to Christ. That's the way to really affect people. And so here are articles that talk about, hey, we need to get these two together. Wouldn't it be great if we could join politics and religion? I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could just bring one of them together? That's the thought. You know what the Bible says? That in the last days, the Antichrist will come and he will join politics and religion. And this man who wrote it, guess what he is? He's the religious editor for our paper, a professing Christian, and he's pleading with churches to become more political. I'll tell you what, he hasn't read the book of Revelation, has he? Now here's another one. This one is interesting. It's out of Insight magazine, and this one talks about age-old fear of the new age. Now listen to this. For most Americans, the new age is a harmless mix of Shirley MacLaine, Chandlers, and Crystals. But for a small number of Christians around the United States, the spiritual and psychological beliefs that characterize the new age movement are nothing less than the work of Satan. He's right. I'm one of those people. I believe it's the work of the devil. And then it goes on to say, you know, what are the basic beliefs? And maybe you should know what they are. Well, here they are. There's seven. Now, I'm going to read you another article that says there are three. Here are seven. But here's what they say. Number one, Jesus was not and is not the only Christ, nor is he God. Now, to me, there's a contradiction in the doctrine of the New Age. They are busy telling us that we are gods, aren't they? But then they turn around and say that Jesus was not and is not the only Christ, nor is he God. He's the only one that deserves to be called God. And I can't get anyone in the New Age to say, how does it make sense that you say that Jesus was not God and yet we're gods? I mean, why did you pick him out as the exception? I mean, does that make sense to anyone? Number two, God is impersonal, a cosmic, a God of energy forces. There's no such thing as, say, as God the Father. He's just a feeling. Number three, man is himself God, for he consists of and is the creator of the forces. Man already exercises the power inherent to his divinity and needs only to awaken to this fact. In other words, somewhere in there, you're God. But the trouble is, You see, if you're not careful, it's in there so deep that it may take several lives, several cycles, for you to discover the God. I had a New Ager tell me that. He said, your God is so well hidden, he says, you don't even know it. He says, see, you think you're a sinner. He says, you're a God. Well, probably means I'll come back as a canary next time around or something like that. You know? By the way, the man I was talking to was in prison. He said he was a God. I found it most remarkable that the authorities didn't think he was God as he borrowed money from the bank and didn't pay it back. Number four, man should seek and accept spiritual instruction and direction directly from the spirit world. In other words, open yourself up to the spirit world. Number five, all religions and religious teachings lead to the same goal, all have equal merit. Number six, the ancient wisdom of Babylon, Egypt and Greece, not the Bible, is the basis of all truth. Now, I don't know what this is doing to your blood pressure, but I know what it does to mine. You see, I disagree with every one of these facts. Next, sin and evil do not exist. Peace and love are the ultimate realities. Now, these are the basis of the New Age, and you can see why they're the fastest growing religion, can't you? In America, the New Age is the fastest growing religion. I have an article that shows where they perform before an audience, and that audience, they estimated that they had 1 billion people, 1 billion people, that's a fifth of all the world, that participated in one New Age movement live global audience of 1 billion people. In person, they had 1 million people. And via television, 1 billion people participated in the New Age movement recently. Incredible, isn't it? You know what the Bible said? They will be worldwide. This heart will span the globe. Now, the next way to describe their basic beliefs, this is another article, and it says this. It said, in the Los Angeles public school classroom, 25 first graders are asked to lie still as their teacher tells them to imagine that they are perfect beings who are full of light and contain all the wisdom of the universe within them. This exercise is guided imaginary. It's part of the educator's curriculum of confident education, and it reflects their belief that we are all God. It says this, people may take up yoga, become involved in holistic medicine, read books on Eastern religion, search for a guru, adopt a cult, lobby for meditation in public schools, and so on and so on. All of these are ways to bring about the New Age in your community. The New Age sees humanity poised on the edge of a worldwide transformation. Its supporters believe that the world's economic, military, social, political problems can be solved by releasing human potential. They say, really, that we're the brain of God. Each of us make up the brain cell of God. If we all decide something, that's the mind of God. That's the will of God. So if we can think peace, if we can think harmony, then God's mind is brought to peace, and there will be peace. But if there's some who are preaching tribulation and sin, well, then there's going to be some tribulation and sin. If we can get rid of those, things will be better. Here are the three basic ideas. The essential idea behind this movement is, first of all is one. It's called monoism. It says this. The earth mass emphasizes that we are one with Mother Earth. It denies any separation between humanity and nature, between humans and God. Instead, the universe is a seamless garment, a perfect unity. In other words, there's no difference between the molecules that make up a person and that make up a dog, and that make up a dog and make up this podium, and that make up the podium and make up the air. Now, they're not very scientific, are they? Because I don't know about you, but I'm not flattered when they say, no, you know, you're one with the podium. You know, you kick the podium, it doesn't say ouch. You kick me, I cry. And they say, no, we're all one. We're made of the same molecules. You can break us down, and you break us down into molecules, and then to atoms, and then to electrons and protons and neutrons. And see, we're all made of electrons and protons. We're all the same. All is one. There's no difference between a dog and you. I say, speak for yourself. You know, give them a can of Alpo and see how they like it. You know, and you eat a steak. Now, see if there's a difference. You know, you watch my dog eat. It doesn't appreciate steak. I mean, it swallows whatever you give it, swallows it whole. You know, that's why I feed at Alpo. I'll probably get sued by Alpo, but what's the difference? But I'm just not into Alpo. I don't even like the smell of Alpo. And I'm quite sure that I'm different than my dog. But, you know, you see, they say, no, we're all one. We're all made up of the same building blocks. Number two, it says this, all is God. Now, I quote, the Christian view of a personal God is abandoned in favor of an impersonal energy force or consciousness. In the Eastern religions, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Totoism, the New Age God is more an it than a person. It's the force of Star Wars. Three, the New Age thinking claims we are all God. First, all is one. Second, to the root of our human being. This is the goal behind Kung Fu and education. Children must realize the divine within them. To the New Age, all religions are but different paths of the same truth. That is, all is one, all is God, we are gods. All right? How do you have a New Age experience? Well, to the New Age person, when you talk about being born again, it doesn't mean spiritual rebirth through faith in Christ, but it means reincarnation, being born again and again and again. So when they talk about, I've had a born-again experience, Shirley MacLaine knows that she's been at least eight other people. She sketched them. She said, here's what I look like in eight of my other lives. Now she knows she's been around hundreds of other lives, but she can only think of how she looked in eight of them. How do you have this experience? How are you born again and again and again? How do you become a New Age convert? Well, here's what they say. This may be attained through drug experiences, Eastern meditation, yoga, martial arts, hypnosis, biofeedback, or sex. So when you have sex, it's God having sex with God. There's nothing wrong with it. If you do drugs, there's nothing wrong with it. You're God. You can do what you want. And that's why it's the fastest growing religion in America. It's do what you want. There's no sin. There's no evil. The ultimate realities are peace and love. Do whatever you want. It goes on to say, the underlying theme of the New Age is that as self-realized gods, we inherit the supernatural. As New Age gods, we do as we please. We are our own God. Isn't that something? And the Bible says that in the last days, you know, because men will be lovers of their own self. It talks about how it will be worldwide. Listen, for the first time ever, we are finding that there is one religion that is breaking down every religious barrier. It is bringing the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Charismatics, the Protestants, the Catholics, all together. And as you look at the last religious system, my dear friend, there's not a single religion in all the world that can fulfill what God's Word says, but the New Age can. And then I begin to see not only the basic beliefs and how poisonous they are, how anti-biblical they are, but then I begin to look at the inroads that some of these are making in terms of the impact into even religion. It's frightening. The aspect of the New Age, let's just spend a little time. How does it affect our churches? Well, for example, in one well-known denomination, I was amazed when I picked up their bulletin and it says this, we welcome to our denomination the long-awaited thrust of evangelism called the New Age Dawning. And as I talk to people there, they don't even know it's New Age. And the whole plan is to sow into that denomination New Age thinking, and people are accepting it. I said on a plane, I watched a man coming back from the conference reading his New Age guide. He was replacing budgets in his church. He was a pastor of a church. He'd never heard of the New Age other than in his handbook. And he was changing his entire budget for his whole church to bring in the New Age. I don't know where some of these people's minds are, but folks, listen, this is on the battle line. Let me read to you. I just cut this one out of the paper a week ago. Again, I'm not going to mention the denomination by name. It could be any one of a dozen churches. But this thing, it says, at 7 p.m., refreshments. Care Child will begin. 7:15, announcements. 7:30, fellowship. 7:45, classes begin. Oh, that's encouraging. I mean, we're going to have some classes. Are you ready for them? Now, here we go. Number one, ballroom dance. Number two, country and western dance. Number three, creative writing. Number four, divorce separation recovery workshop. Number five, dreams guide for growth. Five, financial planning. Six, guitar anyone can play. Seven, intimate relationships. Eight, self-hypnosis. Nine, volleyball. 10, Bible study. I was so relieved. 1 out of 10 is a Bible study. Now, listen to the subject. This is a real article. This was in our paper on the church page section. The Bible study. Looking out for number one. Can you believe it? I mean, you isn't this exactly what the Bible said? Again, the religious editor of our paper says, spiritual quest, interfaith message spreads around the world from Wichita. I'm not proud of this, folks. I wish it weren't true, but here we are. He said, if I would have brought a camera, I could have captured almost the entire spectrum of world religions in a single picture. In a scene in the lobby of the Wichita Ramada Broadview Hotel on Halloween Day, that's the only good thing about it, it occurred on the right day. He said they had a great religious festival in Wichita, and he says all kinds of people, witches were there, seances were there, Buddhists were there, Muslims were there, Hindus were there. And it says the interfaith ministries of Wichita, indeed some people are scandalous of this idea of breaking bread with members of different religions. Some true believers who are part of the all religions see only empathy and infidelity in other faces. That mindset bothers me. Now, I'm a Christian. Because the New Testament best explains sacred reality to me, yet I felt another presence in a Jewish synagogue, in a Muslim mosque, in a Buddhist monastery, in a Hindu temple, and in the glorious sunset of the Flint Hills of Kansas. Oh my goodness. And this guy goes on to say, you know what? As we came together, we began to realize that we could bring together billions of people, and together we could win the world to God's unfathomable wisdom that we find in each of us. I mean, this is happening. That's the religious section of the paper. Here's another one. I mean, this is incredible. Witchcraft, paganism, and nature. That's the subject of the message. And it goes on to say, paganism, the pre-Christian religion of Europe, is based on reverence for nature. Wrongfully confused with Satanism, paganism today is practiced by over 200,000 Americans. Come and listen to this message. It will be by a priestess who was ordained in a magical ceremony, and she was ordained as a witch. And it's sponsored by the modern liberal theology group committed to quality religion and library education. It was a full house. Couldn't get in. I tried. Couldn't get in. Here's another one. This is the New Age. This is their paper. I'm on their mailing list. I'm probably on their hit list. But here it is. The Christ is now here. He has been expected for generations by many religions. The Christians know him as Christ. The Jews await him as the Messiah. The Hindus look for him to come again. The Buddhists expect him as Maitreya. The Muslims hope for his appearance. The names may be different, but in fact, all these religions await the same one. The world teacher, whose personal name is Maitreya, he returns now at the beginning of the age of Aquarius as the teacher and guide of all humanity. Regardless of race or religion, he comes not to judge, but to aid and to inspire. And they talk about his doctrines and so on like that. Now listen to this. Predominant in some religious circles is the opinion that the return of Christ must be preceded by the reign of a demonic Antichrist. The Bible is repeatedly quoted in support of this opinion. This is wrong. Would you expect Satan to say, you know what, they're exactly right, folks. I'm a deceiver, I'm a subtle liar, I'm trying to take everyone I can to hell. Would you expect him to say that? And they begin to say, listen, the trouble with that mindset, these are the people that are destroying world peace. These people are not preparing the way for the Messiah. They're actually bringing in an antithesis of Christ energy. And they talk about how they need to get rid of him. At the earliest possible moment, as soon as these people are rid of, Maitreya will demonstrate his true identity. I think that agrees with Thessalonians. I really do. I think when the Spirit of God and believers are gone, my dear friend, I think the Antichrist will make himself known. I wrote him, and I said, you know what? I think you finally wrote something truthful. I didn't sign my name. On the day of declaration, the international radio and television networks will be linked together. Maitreya will be invited to speak to the world. We will see his face on television. Hear his appeal telepathically. I call them and say, what do you mean telepathically? Now this unravels a whole nest of things, but they said, well, did you see E.T.? I said, no. I said, well, you need to see it, because you see, just as E.T. was able to give his message telepathically to Elliot, that's how the Christ, Maitreya, will give his message to every one of you. He said, everyone will hear it in their own language. I said, yeah, but what if he doesn't speak my language? I said, he will. Now listen to this. He will overshadow all humanity simultaneously. Even those who are not watching television will have the same experience. Every person will hear his words in their own language from his point of view. From that moment on, he will repeat on a worldwide scale the true happenings of Pentecost. At the same time, hundreds of thousands of spontaneous healings will take place throughout the world. In this way, humanity will know that this man, and only this man, is the true Christ. And it goes on and on. They're pretty bold, don't you think? Religion. I'll tell you what, I think it's one of the biggest footholds that the New Age has. There was a conference in Wichita. It was called the Prayer Summit. For the moment, the name has slipped my mind, but some of you know it. Someone will suggest the name of the conference to me. It was the Renovare Conference. And in that conference, they were going to teach you how to pray. Folks, it's New Age. Now, you can have Richard Foster explain to you a thousand different ways how it's not New Age, but Richard Foster teaches at a New Age university that was bought by a New Age individual. They play New Age music on the station. They don't believe there's such a thing as sin. And he says that in order to get your prayers answered, you visualize what you want. This visualization, it's different than imagine. If you say imagine a mountain, that says the mountain's not really there, doesn't it? But when they say visualize, it means to make it real. It's just as real as if it were there. As a matter of fact, how do you know what's real? And so they say, in order to have God answer your prayers, visualize the answer to your prayer. And if you don't get what you pray for, it means that you haven't visualized. You see, God is nothing more than a genie. And you stroke a bottle and he comes out and he does a few tricks for you and he runs away. And then you stroke it again. And you know what? There are people today that are breaking bread visually. They don't have bread and wine there. They visualize it. A man says up and says, all right, visualize Christ on the cross. He said, we have just crucified Christ. This is what Paul said. I'm crucified with Christ. Paul was having a visualization experience. They said, look, let's break bread. Visualize the loaf. Let's take the cup. Visualize Christ's blood, and together we drink it. And that's called breaking bread. I can take you to so-called fundamental churches that in their Sunday school material, it's as new age as it can be. It talks about how the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace channel up Jesus in the fiery furnace. They use the word channel. I don't know what's going through people's minds. I listened to a message by a man who preaches in a glass cathedral. I'm not going to give Robert Shuter any publicity at all. And his great message is believe in the God who believes in you. Matter of fact, if God believes in you, he's not God. Because you know what you are. Any God that would believe in me is not God at all. You want to know why? I know the sin of my own heart. And Robert Shuter gave this message to the Russian people. Not a word about the crucifixion, not a word about the resurrection, not a word about salvation. What was to believe in the God who believes in you, and when you find out that God may be you. Now you can try to justify him as a Christian, my dear friend, but that man's not a believer. He's a false Christ. And this same man, when it came Easter Sunday, he said, listen, this is Easter. And he pointed to the flowers. He said, they're red and they're yellow and they're white and they're green and they're blue. He says, that's Easter. Matter of fact, that's not Easter. That's a nursery. That's a flower garden. But Easter is when God took Christ from the dead and brought him to life again. And it goes on and on. I say the big foothold for the New Age is religion. Now I know that I'll I expect to hear it. And if I don't hear it on that, I'll hear it on this. Now what about the self-esteem doctrine? Have you ever gone into a so-called Christian bookstore? You say, man, you hit everything, don't you? Might as well. I've already got my ticket home. See, I'm in good shape. Where's Mike? Yeah, I got my bodyguard. The self-esteem doctrine, my dear friend, it has no place in Christianity. But you go into a so-called Christian bookstore and you'll find more books on self-esteem than you will on esteeming Christ, won't you? Have you ever thought about the doctrine of self-esteem? Is it biblical? Is it Christian? Well, let's just take John the Baptist. Now, if there's anyone that ought to have a good self-image, it ought to be John the Baptist. You know what the Bible says? Now, the greater was born among women. I'd say that makes John the Baptist pretty good, don't you think? And if you were to ask John the Baptist, here's what he would say. He says, he, meaning Christ, he must increase, I must decrease. Well, I'll tell you what, wouldn't our public schools have a fit at his self-esteem? Next. When they talked to John the Baptist, they said, listen, is this the way? He said, I'm not worthy to undo his shoelaces. Would you call that a good self-esteem? I don't think it's a good self-esteem, but I think it's a Christ esteem, don't you? If I had a dollar for every parent that said, you know, my child would be okay if they just had a little more self-esteem. I said, you know what the trouble is? Your kid has too much self-esteem. He's so worried about how others perceive him that all he can think about is himself. Listen. John 1:30 says this. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh one who is preferred before me, for he was before me. In other words, John the Baptist rules out reincarnation. John the Baptist was never worried about making a name. All he wanted to do was to point to Christ, and he was the greatest born among women. What about the Apostle Paul? What kind of a self-esteem image did he have? Well, here's the Apostle Paul's resume. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Well, that helps your self-esteem, doesn't it? Now, I'm second place, so that makes you probably tied for third. John the Baptist, or the Apostle Paul said this, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. He says, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. He took on himself the form of a servant. He went to the cross. He died. Listen, and yet I look on the bookshelves and I tell you, it's filled with self-esteem. Now I know what you're thinking. What about the verse, love thy neighbor as thyself? Isn't that interesting? The Lord never had to tell you to love yourself. You want to know why? Every kid is born with that. You have to teach your kids how to steal. You put toys in a room. Put 30 toys in a room, put two kids in there. Have you ever noticed they go for the same toy? Now, who taught them that? It doesn't matter. If one of them gets a toy, the other one wants the same toy, right? It's not the God in them. I'll tell you what, it's the sinner in them, isn't it? And so when it says, love thy neighbor as thyself, the Bible knows you love yourself. And so it says, listen, you ought to love others. You ought to spread that love around and love others. So I'll tell you what, I see that the religion really has bit into the New Age lie. What about advertisement? I think there's no way that shows it quite as graphic as in the way of advertisement. Yeah. Ooh, I was checking with my host because, see, I've got to spend the night there unless the Lord comes. And he said I could go on for another hour. Oh, no, that was a 30-minute go-on, all right. I want to read you an article about advertisement because, you see, the New Age is attacking every area. The Bible, when it talks about the New Age, the only counterplay to Christianity is the New Age. I tell you what, Hinduism is not a serious threat to Christianity. I mean, you look at it, it's just not, it's the scope of it's not there. To be a Buddhist. Have you ever talked to someone about being a Buddhist? It's very disappointing, isn't it? But the New Age affects every area of your life. It's truly the counterpart to Christianity. It's the counterproduction of it. So here is an article. It's out of the New York Times News Service. It's not a Christian publication. And the title of it is A New Age. It's thinking challenges traditional beliefs. And it goes on to say this, representatives of some of the nation's largest corporations, including IBM, AT&T, General Motors, met in New Mexico to discuss how metaphysics, the occult, and Hindu mysticism might help executives compete in the world marketplace. On one level, they say, it is the evidence of a surge of interest in new metaphysical religions, mediums, the occult, reincarnation, psychic healing, Satanism, spirit guide, and other aspects of supernatural beliefs. At another level, the scholars cite the spreading influence of psychological self-help and human potential doctrines. On both levels, the leaders contend they are ushering in what is called the New Age of understanding and intellect fervor, as significant as the Renaissance. What is changing, researchers say, is that an increasing number of middle-class Americans, many of them middle-aged, are showing an interest in the supernatural phenomena that blends Eastern mystics and Western occult thinking. I think it is as much a political movement as a religious movement. It is spreading into business management theory and a lot of other areas. But if you look at it carefully, you see that it represents a complete rejection of Judeo-Christian and bedrock American values. Now, that's quite a statement by a non-Christian publication. And then it goes on to say it was really introduced to us by the force of George Lucas' Star Wars. I wish I had time to do about 30 minutes on that, but I'll spare you tonight. Maybe another time. It goes on to say that the New Age now has made its way into a well-regarded Stanford University's graduate program. It's in Harvard graduate program. And it goes on to say that without the New Age thinking, one will not be able to compete in the marketplace. Now, is that true? What about some of the products? Well, let me just give you some of the advertisements. And all of these ads were given to me by junior high and high school age students. Here's one, Crystal Light. I believe in Crystal Light because I believe in me. Now, to be honest, I know it's New Age. Here's the mark of the New Age advertisement. It talks about you and not the product. Now, to be honest, I didn't know what Crystal Light was. I thought it was a light bulb or something like that. You know, I believe in Crystal Light because I believe in me. Now, I like lemonade and I drink iced tea from time to time. So I'm not trying to say don't buy Crystal Light lemonade. You got me? I just want you to know that they're selling you that lemonade using New Age philosophy, aren't they? I believe in Crystal Light because I believe. There's nothing about how it tastes. There's nothing about how many calories. There's nothing about the nutritional value. It's just I believe in Crystal Light because I believe in me. You see how it's New Age? And we buy the product. Here's another one. You deserve a break today. Now, don't get me wrong. When I'm driving down the highway with my boys, we stop 5, 6, 7 times a day at McDonald's. I mean, that's all. I got to feed them every 2 hours. That's all there is to it. Okay, and every time we see the golden arches, their saliva glands work, you know. So I'm not against McDonald's hamburgers. But I'm saying, you, what do you really deserve? Well, it's not a break, is it? You know what I deserve? I deserve to go to hell. And by the grace of God, I'm going to heaven. But you see, it's this idea, hey, you deserve a break today. Here's a be all you can be. You know what that is? Big old sinner. That's about all you can be. I mean, really. Teach her to love herself. Grab all the gusto you can get. Have it your way. I did it my way. Get in touch with your feelings. If it feels good, do it. Satisfy. This is the sole words on the whole effort. Satisfy yourself. Not sure of the ad, but I don't plan to advertise for them. But that's their words. Listen to this one. If you can dream it, you can do it. See, you don't. Some of those are cars. Some of those are tobacco. Some of those are booze. Some of those are hamburgers. But every one of them are New Age. And sometimes people, the first time I say, hey, I didn't know that was New Age. It is, isn't it? Because there's nothing about the product. Now, here's one. Zellers. Is that a store here in Canada? Oh, good. I'll get a Canadian lawsuit for a change. Zellers. Back to school savings. And on the ad, down here it says this, coming soon, New Age contest. Now what has that got to do with school clothes? So, they phone the headquarters of Zellers. And what they said was, it's only a coincidence that the words New Age appear in the contest. She said, we've never heard of the New Age philosophy. The only reason we did it is because we advertise in Quebec, and the New Age was chosen because it sounds good in French. Now, that may be, but of all the things to pick, the New Age contest, you see, it's becoming a buzzword. Here's one. The power of crystal, close at hand. Energy at your fingertips. Captivating crystal to glow with a New Age vitality. They're not trying to hide it, are they? Don't you wish we were this bold with Christianity? I'll tell you what, you know, if someone says anything, you know, you go out of your way to avoid it. I think we ought to look for a reason. Say, you know what, I'm a Christian, and that reminds me, I'm a Christian. And I mean, here it is. Capturing the spirit of well-being and inner harmony. Natural crystal draws the power to you, channeling prisms of light into positive energy, new awareness, new style, new age. This crystal power ring, set in fascinating sculpture, 22 karat fake gold, gold coated over solid sterling. How do they have the nerve to say that? Full cut diamond, sparkling like real crystal power, clearly styled for the new age, only from the Franklin Mint. There it is. People buy it. Hard to believe, isn't it? Here's one, J.C. Penney's. They just removed a line of clothes because inside of the line of clothes there was a label put in there by the manufacturer that was New Age to the core. And people begin to say, hey, Penny's, when did you start advertising religion? They looked at it and said, it is religion. So they had to take the line of clothes off the market. Here's our army. Here's how they advertise it. Be all you can be. Want to know why the U.S. Army is on the way down? We're being all we can be, and that's not very good. This is one. This has got to be one of my favorites. Now look at this. All you have to be is you. Now what in the world would this be? I mean, you couldn't guess it in a million years. It's a perfume. I mean, you buy this perfume and you put it on and you walk in a room and someone says, I thought that was you. You know, I don't know of a woman yet that puts on a perfume to smell like her. You know, you put on this thing, you know, Desert Rose, you know, Spicy Spring, Rosy Tulip. Or this one says, all you have to be is you. Ridiculous. Here's another one. Vanderbilt. Let it release the splendor of you. Well, you know, I put that stuff on so I don't smell like me. You know, I try my best to... I notice, you know, my junior high kids, you know, at lunchtime, they're out there shooting baskets, you know, and they come in and the girls say, hey, don't let those guys in here. Oh, why not? Man, they smell junior high. You know? Well, listen to this one. He's my comfort. He's my inspiration. He's my love. But I'm captain of my soul. Any idea what that is? That's sportswear. Now, what has that got to do with that thing? And we buy it. Oh, yeah, this is a nice one. See, I try really not to advertise for these companies because I just hate to give them free advertisement. Not only that, the lawsuits get to be ridiculous. But here's one that's a life insurance company, and they have a big rock. You know what I mean? Their initials are Prudential. And they have some great ads. Now, listen to this one. You can move mountains. There's nothing you can't do. So I called up the guy and I said, you know, I read your ad. And I said, I'd like to, what do I have to do to sign up? And he was so shocked. I mean, how often does a life insurance guy get a client to volunteer over the phone? I mean, this guy was ecstatic. And, you know, and he was yes sir-y and all this kind of stuff. And I said, you know, before I sign up, I said, there is one thing I'd like to do. It says, you can move mountains. There's nothing you can't do. And yeah. I said, now that is your ad, isn't it? I said, I want to make sure I got the right company. He says, yeah. He said, that's us. I said, well, I don't have a mountain. But I said, right here, right in the driveway, I said, the nursery just came out and dumped a load of dirt. And I was just wondering if you could spread that over the yard. I said, I know you won't have to come out to do it, because if you can move mountains, you can probably move this little mound of dirt over the phone. The guy wouldn't talk to me anymore. He hung up. Now, all I was, I just read his ad. You can move mountains. There's nothing you can't do. And he got scared by a little dirt pile. You see, they advertise this stuff using New Age. Do you see how that's New Age? It's got nothing to do with life insurance. Here's one. Anything is possible if you dare. What in the world? It's another adventurous journey for the moment. Every step starts with a step. Every dream starts with a dreamer. You smell like dare. Well, I think that's what Peter wears when he comes in from... Or is that Tom? Yeah, Tom comes in. I think you've got dare on his feet there when he comes in. Discover Ultras and discover the best you. Oh, this is a classic. I'm surprised this company hasn't gone broke, but they're making money. Listen to this. Let you be you. Now, that's the average. They pay millions of dollars for this. Let you be you. That's a tennis shoe. Now, the reason I put on a tennis shoe is because I want to jump like Michael Jordan. And I put on these things and it lets me be me, and man, I'm slow as molasses, you know. I can only jump 3 inches. It lets you be you. And we buy them. I see kids wearing these t-shirts. Reebok. Let you be you. Oh, boy. We give you the power to open any darkness. GTE. Now listen to this one. Accept no limitations. It says this. Put simply, this technology can help you surmount any obstacle. With its unmatched autofocus system, the possibilities are as limitless as your imagination. Only for the mind of Minolta. It's a camera ad. And there's very little about the camera. It's all about your imagination. Accept no limitations. Here's another. This one is another one that's fantastic. They bring out a guy. He's all dressed in black. And what he does, he on a table, there's a spoon. And he gazes at the spoon and he curls it into a ball. Then I think there's a nail. And he gazes at the nail and he twists the nail. And then there's a watch. And he stares at the watch and he moves and stares at the watch. And then it says, Timex. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Okay. They're going to sell it with meditation. And, you know, we wear them. Probably have one on right now. Here's another one. The guy comes on in the commercial. It's a sweatshirt that says mental state. And then the final ad says this. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. And the advertiser, the Advantage Plus, a new phone system. You see, the whole thing is all aimed at the aspect of the new age. Pyramid power has the shape of a woman with a nice watch on her arm. Matter of fact, I think this one's in this week's TV guide. The pyramid, power symbol of ancient pharaohs, today's new age symbol of vitality and energy. The most compelling shape in the universe, never more timely than now. Sculptured waves of energy from a pyramid watch. It goes on and says, a watch, a new angle on telling time and fashion jewelry designed for the new age. Openly say it. This one, if I was a woman, I'd be insulted. Mind, body, spirit, beautiful. Female energy. Female reproductive formulas to fortify your body. Woman creativity, clear thinking, spiritual awareness to nurture your hearts and dreams. Dream time to relax, to restore after stress. Woman courage. It's a new age drug you can take that'll bolster you and give you great feelings about yourself. Crystal jewelry. This is a great one. It lets you express yourself on the high roads of life. Now, there's not one word about the performance of an Oldsmobile. But it lets you express yourself on the high roads. You see how we bit into this whole thing? Here's a great one. Working together to make you look better. It's a copy machine. How to make copies. Listen to this one. Christmas is not a date. It's a state of mind. That was sent to me last year by my service station, AMCO. Christmas is not a date, but a state of mind. Here's one out of 17 magazine. And this one, this 17 magazine is the most read magazine by girls between the ages of 14 and 21 of any magazine published. And in 17, it tells you how to have a new age experience. They tell you this. They say, focus inwardly, sit in the lotus position, breathe in slowly and deeply, saying to yourself, I am, I am. It's a play on what God said to Moses. And then, as you say that, you will have meditation, relaxation, and you will discover the God in you. They tell you how to do it. And I could go on. I've got another half a folder full of ads, and all of those are New Age, aren't they? Now, I'm not saying avoid those products. I'm simply saying, look, we're living in a New Age day. It's in our business seminars. Management people are told, listen, you've got to discover the God in you. They're told... I have a quote from a business seminar that tells the management people, kneel to your own God to become a better employee and a better manager. They tell you to kneel to your own God. Incredible, isn't it? How about in education? Some of the most incredible things are happening according to education in our country. Matter of fact, I would say that probably it's in schools where the New Age is making its greatest inroads. Some of it's a self-esteem doctrine. Some of it's meditation. For example, in a speech class at a university, they were told to sit in the lotus position. They were told to concentrate on the third eye. They paired off to concentrate on the third eye and then to mirror image each other's thoughts. And after a while, they said, watch your thoughts become one. Now, what does that have to do with speech? Nothing. What does that have to do with the New Age? Everything. You see, they work it in every chance they get. But that same class would be offended if you gave a speech on the apologetics of Christianity. In Iowa, required reading list is a book about spirit guides. How that as small children you can have a spirit guide. It will allow you to bring about your God-like qualities through your spirit guide. That's required reading. It's ridiculous. Matter of fact, speaking of being ridiculous, I was sent a copy of a book called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. This is a book that's being read right in your community, in school. It talks of levitation. It talks of mind reading. It talks of yoga and a yoga teacher. My dear friend, if you are born again, if you believe the Bible to be true, you ought to let the phone ring off the wall of that school until they say, listen, if you're going to teach that religion, then you ought to give us a chance to tell them about Jesus Christ. Too long, we've been silent. I believe that we're looking at the very last religious system. And what we have before us is one of the most incredible things going on. Back home, and I don't want you to get the idea that the New Age is just in America. Because when I was here, I found out in St. Catharines that a junior high class, they lay down on the floor and they levitated sheets of paper. Back home, we have a junior high class, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. They begin the first 25 minutes of every day with a New Age meditation teacher. In this class, they tell them how to relax. They tell them how to get a spirit guide. This spirit guide will help them in history. It'll help them in math. It will help them all the way through their school days. As well, in this class, there's an example of a young girl that was taught how to channel. She channeled up her grandmother. The grandmother told the class and her that she and her sister would die. The sister died 2 days later. The girl went into a state of panic. Now, you can say that's not religion, but my dear friend, the New Age is religion. In that classroom, they practiced how to levitate. They were taught how to leave their body and to look at the class from the top of the classroom, out-of-the-body experiences. In this class, they also teach them concerning sex education. Now, what I'm going to quote to you comes exactly from a teacher. This teacher gave me part of the information that was in their training program. It has to be one of the most incredible things that I've ever witnessed. First of all, the teachers are told to encourage every student to be able to name the parts of the body so that every part of the body is as commonly spoken of as the ear. They said desensitize these children. Tear down any modesty barriers that they have. So they began with 4 weeks in the 6th grade science class. They lengthened it to 6 weeks in the 7th grade in home ec. They lengthened it again to 8 weeks in the 8th grade science class. 3 weeks of this were on sex education. 1 week was on AIDS and the spread of AIDS. Here's what they said. Our position is you should abstain. But since we know you're going to have sex, now this is 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, we're going to teach you how to have safe sex. So they introduce it by having a guy come in with a cowboy hat with condoms hanging down that are red and green and yellow and black, and you pick a condom based on the color of the holiday coming up. The girl's job is to take the condom and to put it on an erect model of a male organ or to practice putting it on her finger. The boys are asked to insert a birth control device in a model of a woman. These are 6th graders. And they're supposed to name the parts of the body that they're touching. Now, I don't know about you, but what has this got to do with anything decent or moral? You see, but part of New Age is that sex is okay. It's among gods. Why should we be embarrassed? You see, my complaint is this. It's like saying this. Since stealing is wrong, but we know you're going to steal, here's how to steal without getting caught. Look, folks. Kids, sex is wrong. But since you're going to do sex anyway, we're going to show you how to have safe sex. Does that make any sense? This is terrible. To be honest, this is absolutely terrible. And in this thing, they have actually brought in people who have lobbied for homosexual laws to tell them that homosexuals have feelings, and really, some of them are homosexual, and so they try to identify with the homosexual thoughts to discover some of them are homosexual. I don't know about you, but folks, I had all that I can take. You know what that is? That's sin. And I don't care how you wrap it. You can wrap it new age, old age. It's a lie from hell is what it is. And I think sooner or later, I'm hoping that some who are believers will begin to say, hey, I'm not going to have any part of this. They teach them how to masturbate. They teach them how to do sodomy. And what happens when sodomy occurs in the home and how to enjoy it so that it doesn't warp your mind. My dear friends, this is as sinful as you can ever get. And we do it in the name of education. Now, that's just part of my soapbox. Here's a form handed out to a third grade class, self-love awareness analysis. Check the one that best describes you. I love myself seldom, sometimes, most of the time, always. Depending on what you check, they begin to question the child about his home life. Incredible. Here are some of the curriculums. These will literally blow your mind. This one is for preschool. Practicing cooperation and conflict resolutions with preschoolers. And there's a company called Lollipop Power. Now, I have the ad for it. And in the ad for Lollipop Power, it says, publishes alternative children books, including books about gays and lesbian families. So what you can do with these books, you can begin to teach these kids, listen, some of you may be gay and some of you may be lesbian. That's okay. That's the way you are. It's okay. Here's another one. New Seed Press publishes books free from racial, class, or sexual stereotyping. And this is what they teach preschool kids. In our own city, we have so swallowed the whole New Age lie that this year we took away the readers and the spellers from first graders. They make up their own spelling words. This is ridiculous, folks. Now, it only makes sense when you begin to read another document that was put out by our state. We're one of the trial balloon states. What's new for Kansas? I mean, this is their own bulletin. What's new for Kansas? It's the New American School. Dr. Shirley McCune, a self-acclaimed New Ager, says this, that parents are doing such a poor job of raising children, we must produce better human capital to run our machines. Here's what she's suggesting. She said, we are no longer interested in teaching our children facts or knowledge. We need to have them experience the future. How can they be against drugs until they've experienced drugs? How can they be against sex until they've had sex? And so she says, don't teach them facts. In one classroom, she says, I don't want to see a desk or a chair in there. Because you inhibit them, they will not discover their true feelings and their true identities. And it goes on and on. Global education for a global world. Make them global citizens, year-round school. They are proposing that at the age of 3 months, we begin to educate our children using these so-called parent trainers. 12-month school, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'll tell you what, it's absolutely incredible. They talk about this value clarification. They talk about world citizenship. They talk about visualization. They talk about the fact, matter of fact, in one of the curriculums in North Carolina, from the age of first grade through the 12th grade, they saluted the flag one time in the second grade, one time in the third grade, and then they were told to only paraphrase the flag salute. We have now adopted the new AIDS curriculum. Now listen to this. It was written by a homosexual who publicly supports sodomy as legal. We now have a program that with a carton of milk, it issues a condom every day to children when they buy a carton of milk. And the program begins in the sixth grade. Because of the protests, they now are adopting a new religious program. Now listen to this. Here's what it will teach. All major religions will be presented as true. There will be no rebuttal. Here's their statement. Now, I'm going to quote it exactly. All great religions will all disappear before the mighty rush of facts in the next two generations. Religious differences are mainly a product of birth. Where you were born determines your religion. Therefore, we will not teach it. We will teach our children that they're not the product of two people. They're the product of all humanity and of the globe. I tell you what, folks, whether we like it or not, I really believe that we're looking at the last religious system. And the Bible says that it will be illustrated by a harlot, by a prostitute, who will join with the politics. And my dear friend, I really believe we're there. I could go on. That's the tip of the iceberg. Out on the table there are three tapes. The shortest one is probably an hour and a half long. And I try to go through 12 different areas of the New Age. New Age music, New Age entertainment. The cartoons. Might have been the cartoons and movies are loaded with New Age advertisement. When you let your child sit down and watch Saturday morning cartoons, you're opening his mind to the New Age concepts. Steven Spielberg knew exactly what he was doing when he did E.T. George Lucas of Star Wars. Folks, that was no accident. He is a Buddhist. Ted Koppel recognized the advance of the New Age through movies, and he said that to the authors, and they laughed and said, too bad no one else recognizes it. Matter of fact, we can make all the excuses we want to, but I really believe that you and I are living at the last